Okay, so I want to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to talk about this. This is work that I am doing with Joe, Chris Rogan, and Maria Spiropoulou, from these two from Caltech. And so this is work on the razor variables, and so I'll come to that shortly, but just some motivation. As we all, of course, know, the LHC has been running for a while now, and we have found the Higgs, which is all great and wonderful. But we have not found anything that looks like squarks or gluinos that decay into jets and missing energy with masses less than somewhere around TeV. This is actually a very old plot. I could replace it with a newer one, but at this point it's sort of the same story, that we know that there isn't anything that looks like what we were expecting from the MSSM, sort of in a mass range that's below a TeV. But we should remember that a lot of the things that came out in these early searches were motivated by something that you could call simple supersymmetry, or that were quote unquote easy to find, and that's not to make any comments about the difficulty that this was for the experimentalists. These were things that were very difficult to look for, but they were still the easiest of the difficult things to look for. And so there is actually room for interesting things that could be lurking at or below a TeV scale. There is still room, perhaps, for third generation partners, for some degenerate mass spectra that would be difficult to see in these jets plus missing energy searches. And you can also have direct electroweak production, sleptons or charginos or things like that in some model other than the supersymmetry. And this last one is what I'll be talking about today. So if you're interested in such models, obviously we're just going to work in supersymmetry, but a lot of what I'd have to say would apply to other models that have partners for W bosons or partners for leptons. But this speaking in supersymmetry allows me to work with very specific cross sections and the rest of that. And so we're interested in, say, chargino pair production that goes into on or off shell W's, missing energy. Those W's then decay. And in particular, I'm going to care about the leptonic decays. So we end up with two leptons, opposite sign, and missing energy. Alternatively, you could just produce leptons directly. Those leptons decay, and then you end up again with the same signature in the final state. And the problem with this, of course, is that they have very small rates and large backgrounds. If you're just producing the lightest charginos, you end up with rates that are reasonable at low mass, but then you have to pay a large cost for the branching ratio, right? You have to decay into leptons, not into jets, on both sides. And sleptons, you know, you have smaller rates to begin with, but of course you don't pay as big of a branching ratio. And your backgrounds are large. This is with CMS-like selection cuts. We'll get more specific about that later. But you see, if you compare the slepton cross-sections, this would be either selectrons or smuons. Even at the lowest mass you could really imagine, you're talking about 100 femtobarns, and your backgrounds from Zhou-Yan WW are about the same. So this is sort of inherently a difficult thing to look for. And of course, there are searches right now. They are very good considering how difficult the signature is, but they are weak compared to what we are thinking of for squarks and gluinos. So what I'm showing here is the CMS recent results for their exclusion region for sleptons and for charginos, for the mass of the slepton and the mass of the missing energy particle, the neutralino. And then this is what they were predicting, and then this is the exclusion region right there for sleptons, and then again for charginos here. One thing to remember about these plots is that this assumes 100% branching ratio of the charginos into leptons, right? So they actually put in a slepton sort of in the middle of the mass spectrum, so the chargino goes through a slepton and then into a lepton. So they're not paying as big of a price for branching ratios. And again, here are the ATLAS results, and I'll come back to these momentarily. You can see that there is a region where things would be relatively degenerate, which they're not sensitive to. That's the lept bound. The lept bound would be right here in the CMS plots. And then again, similar exclusions as to CMS. This one as well, this is a slepton. In both cases, they assume that the selectrons and smuons are the same mass. So they're actually looking for both of them, not one individually. So I will be trying to compare new techniques to ATLAS and CMS techniques, so I should just go into a little bit of detail about what they're doing. ATLAS uses this MT2 variable, where you run over some unknown momenta that have to sum up to the missing energy that you see. you construct this very strange transverse momenta maximum, and then you minimize over this possible momenta. And it has an endpoint that contains information about the mass of the parent and the daughter particles, which will be pretty generic for a lot of the variables that we're interested in. And then here, this is actually our simulations of what their selection cuts would give you, where you see this is a WW background before cuts, and then this is various signal points for 150 GeV selectron decaying into a massless neutralino and then to 100 GeV neutralino, and before cuts and then after cuts. And then this is with all of the backgrounds stacked up. That's the background, and then that would be your signal. So you're looking for this sort of tail over there. CMS uses a slightly more complicated variable, MCT perpendicular, MCT perp. You can read more about it here. What they're trying to do is, in such events, if you have jets, you're assuming that those jets didn't come from anything that you actually care about. They're just ISR jets. And so they assume that that's actually irrelevant to the physics that you're interested in, and you try to project out into a plane that gets rid of that extra jet information. And you build this MCT variable, but in that perpendicular plane. And again, you get a tail, and there should be an edge or an endpoint where this is always less than something to do with the mass difference of the parent and the daughter. And again, you see that's what your background looks like, and then you have to look for information out in this tail. So that's what the current searches are using, these mass variables. And yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, so this is 150 and then to a zero GeV versus, and then 100. And you see that once you get the mass difference down near the W, everything, and that will be true for the variable that I will show as well. You always start running into trouble whenever the mass difference gets small. So we're going to try to use what's called razor variables. And razor variables have now been around for a very, very long time, obviously, 3 whole years. They've been used by CMS in Squirk and Galeno searches. They've been used in non-strongly interacting searches, for example, monojet dark matter searches by Fox et al. And the idea is that you want to define variables that will approximate some mass scale in your problem. In particular, the mass scale you're going to try to approximate is what we're calling M delta, which is this mass difference between the parent and the particle that you can't see in the decay divided by the mass of the parent, so squared. So this gives you a mass scale. And this is the kind of event that I'm interested in. You produce two particles, sleptons in this example, get a visible particle and an invisible particle on both sides, and then there's a bunch of jets. And in the old-fashioned razor, you just treat these jets as part of the problem that you're going to be dealing with, but for us, as with CMS, the CMS analysis I discussed, we can assume that those jets are totally irrelevant to the interesting physics. But before we do anything with that, we just take the old-fashioned razor. The idea is you're going to boost into some approximation of the pair production frame. And you don't know where that frame is, so you have to make a guess. We guess that that frame might be somewhere where the visible particles, the two leptons, have equal and opposite momenta. If this is anywhere near a good approximation, and if the particles are produced near threshold, then in this razor frame, the energy of those particles should be somewhere near this mass difference variable M delta. And you can define a boost invariant mass defined this way, energy sum squared minus the z component of the momentum squared. And you hope that this variable will inherit information about the mass difference. That only uses information along the longitudinal direction, so there's also transverse information that you can use to build a second mass variable. And the Razor team decided to use a dimensionless variable r squared instead of mtr. And so this should be, again, giving you information about the mass difference. And the point is that if there's a mass difference and if these variables capture it, then they'll see edges and endpoints that have to do with that mass difference, whereas background, just jets plus missing energy, don't know anything about this scale, and so they just kind of drop exponentially. And so this is the CMS analysis for squarks and gluons. Gulino, sorry, where you see their background here just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping because there's no scale in the problem. NR and MTR don't know anything about a particular scale, whereas if there was actual signal, you would see little kind of edges coming off of this or little bumps. And if you just take this and apply it directly to the the Slepton or Chargino searches, you see that you get a nice, so here's MR, which should know about the mass difference, and R squared, which should know about the mass difference as well. And this would be signal of 150 GeV Slepton going to 50 GeV neutralina. And you see that most of the events end up somewhere near MR near the mass difference, and this R squared variable turns out to kind of peak near a quarter. And that's exactly what you see for the razor variable. The problem with applying the old-fashioned razor directly to this kind of search is that your background also has a mass. Your background is primarily tops and Ws, and so that background would also peak right in that range for a wide variety of Slepton masses. So we want to improve this. And we're going to improve it by taking into account the information that the jet should be irrelevant. We can then try to boost to some frame where we've removed all of these jets. And so we remove the contamination from ISR that would be ruining our construction of the MR and R squared variables. And this, as I said, was similar to the construction that CMS used in their MCT perp. So if you think of all of the frames that we have, there's the lab frame, right? This is what we actually get to measure, where there's some hard event and a decay occurs, and that's moving with some boost that we don't know, transverse to the lab and longitudinal to the lab. And ideally, we'd love to be able to boost from this frame to the center of mass frame, where the two heavy particles are produced back to back. And then from there, it would be great to be able to boost straight to the decay frame, where the Slepton or Chargino decays into visible and invisible particles. And as this is widely known, there is no possible way for you to do this. There's not enough information in the event for you to make all of these boosts. And so the idea behind RAZR in general is just to make some guesses. Right? You can't make all of these boosts, but you can make educated guesses about what this boost should be. So instead of the actual lab boost from the lab to the center of mass, I'm going to approximate it with some beta sub L. And then if I can get somewhere close to this frame, I'm going to make another approximation boosting to the decay frame. And instead of using the actual boost, beta CM, which I can't reconstruct, I'm going to approximate it with some beta R, which hopefully will get me close to this decay frame. And then we can just show using simulations that these approximations are actually not terrible, that they actually are getting you close to the real frames of production and then decay. So you're going to have to make a bunch of assumptions, and I think this is where a lot of people get very confused about the razor, so you just bear with me. Hopefully I'll convince you that it is not totally crazy. Again, we're just looking at events where there's two heavy particles decaying to two visible and two invisible particles. If I'm boosting from the lab frame to the center of mass frame, I'd love to be able to construct this boost, which would require knowing the transverse missing energy, the two true of every search you can think of. It's true of stops going to tops and things like that.
Exactly.